So here's where we're at today. We're opening God's word to a book and a story. We've been in this series called Epic, right? And looking at Old Testament characters. And I have the honor of introducing us to a guy that honestly needs no introduction. If you've been a part of church for a while, or even if not, you have heard this guy's name, and you automatically have thought a couple of things about this guy. This guy's name that we're talking about is a guy named Jonah. All right, a guy named Jonah. And so if you have your Bibles, I would love for you to turn with me to the book of Jonah. Now, if you've been a part of Bible drill, maybe you're going to find it immediately. But for many of you, you need to look at the front of your Bible to find out where Jonah is, sandwiched between Obadiah and Micah. All right, that's where you're looking. It's four chapters, and it can be a little difficult to find, I know. But we're going to look at a guy named Jonah today and what God did in his life. But right off the bat, many of us go ahead and look at another character. As soon as we hear the name Jonah brought up, we automatically bring it to a whale or a big fish. Am I right? You guys have heard the story of Jonah, and your first thought is of the whale or the big fish. And right off the bat, you've already made an assessment, a judgment of, is this real or not? Can a whale really swallow a man whole? And can that man stay alive in his belly for 3 days? Well, let me just go ahead and call you out on this. If you can believe in Genesis 1 that God can speak and earth and everything comes into existence, then surely you can believe that God can use a big fish. You see, we can't take one part of the Bible and not all of it. We can't take just one little piece of it and believe this part and not the whole. And so, yeah, it can happen. If God wants to use a big fish or a whale to swallow a man to get his attention and send him back on the mission he has for him, then surely he can do it, and we'll believe that. If you need further proof of this, actually just 1 month ago, and if you're on any social media platforms or watch the news, up in Cape Cod, there was a lobster fisherman. This happened June 11th, 2021. Okay, just very recently, a lobster fisherman had an encounter with a humpback whale. You guys heard this story? You know what I'm talking about? Let me give you a little information about it. A guy named Michael Packard, who's 56, was in his second plunge, meaning they'd already been to the bottom once, and now he's come back up. He's gone down a second time off the coast of Cape Cod when a whale swallowed him. For about 30 to 40 seconds, Packard twisted, turned, and coped with an agonizing pressure in his legs. He could feel the whale's forceful head shakes. Then came the light as he was spit out. This was just here recently, 1 month ago. This lobster fisherman has an encounter with a humpback whale. Now, as they interviewed him, and he's kind of beaten up a little bit, and they're talking to him. They're like, "What in the world happened?" And he's like, "I don't know. I was all of a sudden on the bottom, and the next thing you know, everything's dark around me. I felt some pressure. I didn't know what was going on." He said he actually slowed down and started thinking, "Did I just get bit by a shark?" He wasn't sure what was going on, checked his limbs. No, he wasn't. And for 30 or 40 seconds, he was in the mouth of this humpback whale. And there's an eyewitness account of another boat that was there that saw a whale turn up and breach right there. And right there beside it came Michael Packard's legs flying out of the water. So that was just here recently. So if you're having any doubts already, let's just go ahead and squish those. In fact, if you look in the book of Matthew, you'll see Jesus even reference Jonah. So Jonah's a real man, but here's something that we also have to know. We give too much attention to a whale when there's only 3 verses in the whole book of Jonah about the whale. Instead, the book of Jonah is about the man. The book of Jonah is about the man and the calling that God had on his life and his choice to disobey it. And so that's what we're going to look at today as we open up God's word in Jonah chapter 1. So let's pray together, and we're going to do so. Lord, we thank you and praise you for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for being above all, in all, and above, and seeing all. Lord, we thank you for today. We thank you for this moment together. Lord, I pray that as we open your word, that you would speak clearly to us so that we can hear from you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are 3 words we're going to look at today, and they're pretty simple words, but I think as we look at it, we can break it down pretty easily in the story of Jonah, and they're actually going to be found right at the very beginning of the whole book. So we're not going to go through all 4 chapters. I'll give you a paraphrase of what all of them are, but in Jonah chapter 1, we see right off the bat a few things that come out. So let's look in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, and we're just going to read a few verses here, all right? Here we go. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me." But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And then verse 4, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then we'll see that the mariners were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. I'm going to continue. I'm just going to read this right here. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give you a thought to us that we may not perish." Here are three words we're going to look at. We're going to start off with a very simple one. The first one is just go. We see in verse number one, where it says, or verse two, where it says, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Now, this word "go" is a call to action. This word "go" is an act of obedience. This word "go" says that you need to do something. So here we have Jonah, a prophet in his own land. He's doing the will of God. He's sharing and doing what he's supposed to be doing. And all of a sudden, his mission field shifts. His entire, what he knew and what he thought he was supposed to be doing has now changed directions, and he wasn't all about it. We'll see that in a second. But this word "go," we also, of course, find in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. You guys know what that passage is? It's called the Great Commission. Correct? Where it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." This is Jesus speaking at his ascension. Go. Jonah has this right here on him, and he has a decision to make. He's either going to obey and go forward, or he's going to choose to not obey. And so here it is for all of us today. Let me just real quick speak to those of you in here that have made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of your life. If you have, this is a message I'm going to proclaim over and over and over again. Our students are going to be sick of hearing it, but I truly believe that if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a missionary. That's who you are. That is your label. That is your new title. That is your identity. You are a missionary. Now, the question becomes, what's your mission? Where's your mission field? And automatically, when we hear the word missionary, we think of Africa. We think of Cambodia. We think of somewhere else that's not right here, because right here can be very comfortable. Right here, we can get in our lazy boy and sit back and just coast through life. And can I just tell you that God does not call us to a life of comfort and complacency? And instead, that's where we find ourselves very often. And I would reckon that that's where Jonah had found himself, just comfortable in his setting. So God comes to him and gives them this brand new assignment of go. So right off the bat, question for all of us. What assignment has God given you? What assignment has God given you? If you know Jesus and you're a missionary in this place, and you go and you live outside this place, then what are you supposed to be doing? One of my biggest things I challenge students with, and as a matter of fact, driving up to middle school camp, we had some of the media in the van. We were going up the day before, and as we were driving up, I just stopped as we stopped right beside Klein High School, that red light at Louetta, to turn right to head over towards 45. And I just stopped, and I said, "I want you guys," and it was just adults in the van. I said, "I want you guys to look at that. That right there is a mission field. That's what Klein High School is. That's what any school around is." And so students, like I said, y'all have heard me say this. You're going to hear me saying it over and over. Parents, you're going to hear me saying this to your students over and over. I truly believe that some of the greatest mission fields our students will ever walk on are their schools. 3,000 students at one high school. 3,000 students in one high school. You look in Acts in the early church and you see what God did with Peter when he decided to be bold and step up. 3,000 repented and were baptized. Why couldn't that happen at one of our schools? Why couldn't it? So that's the challenge for the students, and I'm going to constantly be beating that drum and pointing us towards this being our mission field. We're going to go on mission trips, but those are really just training grounds for coming home. For all of us in the place, anytime we sign up to go on a mission trip or to do those things, praise the Lord, awesome, go. You will be stretched, you will be changed, you'll see a lot of things happen. But the bottom line is if you don't come back any different or have learned what you can do while you're off that you can bring home, then honestly, you're a missionary here, not there. So here's my call to all of us with this. God has strategically placed you where he wants you. He's already given you your assignment. Your workplace could be your assignment. My testimony is I came to the Lord when I was 8 years old. Thank goodness the Lord saved me and rescued me when I was younger. It's very easy, though, when you give your life to the Lord to look back and say, okay, well, my testimony doesn't match up with this person's or that person's and these types of things. But I began to notice and recognize in my life, man, thank goodness the Lord saved me when I was eight. He rescued me from a lot of hardships and things. And then I began, and this is a challenge for anybody that's in that situation. I challenge you to go back and find out where in your family lineage God broke the chain of sin in your family. And so for me, it happened in my parents. My parents, when I was 1 year old, and I love this, my testimony, it's who I am, they gave their life to the Lord when I was one. They were at church. My dad wanted to play softball, church softball, great evangelism tool. And in order to play, he had to go to church. And so they started to go to church. And while there, there was a preacher that was in town that was speaking. And my mom gave her life to the Lord immediately. But my dad had some questions. And so he went to work after those days. And there was a man, his boss. His boss knew Jesus. And his boss led my dad to the Lord. Not in a pew, not at an altar, but at a work desk. It's a challenge for every single one of us in here is to recognize that God has already placed you where he wants you. You just have to be willing to go. You just have to be willing to go, meaning that you have to sign up to go to your workplace on mission, meaning that you have to go into the grocery store on mission, to the gas pump, wherever you're at, you have to go in obedience. Well, what we see the next thing that happens with Jonah is Jonah didn't go. Instead, he said no. So we have go, and now we have the word no. And you see this in verse 3. But Jonah, as soon as God says to go, Jonah does something immediately. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. Jonah said, get me out of here. I've got to move. I'm just not moving the direction he wants me. I'm moving. And so he rose to flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. Now, some things you have to know about this is that Nineveh was 500 miles away from where Jonah was. Tarshish was 2,000 miles the opposite direction. Jonah wasn't just hiding. Jonah was like, get me away, as far away as possible. So the word no brings us to disobedience. The word no is just a straight up stiff arm to God and say, no way, I'm not doing that. And that's what Jonah did. And so Jonah he journeys down to Joppa. Now I want you to understand something. Every time we disobey God, every time we step out in sin from what the Lord would have us to do, when he says go, when we say no, what we're doing is we're stepping down. Jonah went down to Joppa. We continue on and we see that Jonah went down into the bottom of the ship. He's in the bottom of the ship, and then we see that they throw him overboard, so he's going down off the ship. Then ultimately, he's down in the belly of the whale in the deeps. Sin wants to take us down. Sin will take us down. You know what? Satan opened every door for Jonah to run. He went down to Joppa. Now, you got to imagine that the port towns there, it wasn't like in New York or with mass transportation. There are signs on exact times of when boats are coming. So for Jonah to have gotten to town and there'd be a boat actually heading to Tarshish at the time he arrived, pretty unlikely, but yet he finds himself there. Satan opened all those doors. Jonah paid a fare. He paid to go on the trip. He wanted to get as far away from who and what God wanted him to do. Now, let's give a little credit here, just to kind of background a little bit here. Why was Jonah so against going? Well, we have to understand the people that he was being called to in Nineveh. These are Assyrian people. These are the enemies of the Jews. These guys do not treat the Jews well. In fact, they boasted about how they tortured them. It says that they would take and they would peel the skin off of their enemies. Like legit, like just peel the skin off of them. And they would take them out into the desert and they would bury their bodies up to their heads. Can you imagine? I mean, you ever had like a boo-boo and you get in the sand with that thing? Yeah, now we're talking. This is not nice. They would take them out there. And it even says at one part, they would take the tongue and they would drive a nail through it to the ground. Yeah, this is pretty vicious stuff. And then finally, once they died, they'd behead them, take their skin, put it on their walls as well as their heads. So did Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Nope. I wouldn't have wanted to go to Nineveh either because of fear. There are a couple of reasons that Jonah might not have wanted to go. One of those is absolute fear. Now, I was actually on this trip in high school camp, and I didn't ask permission to share this, but I think I love this young man. I'm not going to mention names. But I saw fear take place at one point as we were rappelling. I've rappelled before, and rappelling is not an easy thing where you strap on a rope and a harness and you lean backwards. And once you get leaning backwards, you either got to go or go. I mean, that's about it. You're already over the edge. And I'll never forget seeing this young man. He's up there, and I was recording, and you can hear myself on the video going, "You got this. You can do it. Keep going." He's already over the edge, but fear crippled. Fear will paralyze us, and I've been paralyzed with fear before. I've had things in my life that have caused me fear and anxiety, and it causes us to stand still and not do what we're supposed to do. And in this case, watching this happen, fear had gripped, and there was every excuse. You know what I mean? We always have excuses to not do what we're supposed to do. Even though somebody could be right there beside us coaching us, just step left, just move the right foot, just let out a little slack, a little bit of those things, but fear can grip. I think Jonah might have had a little fear, but I also think another main reason that Jonah didn't want to go was just he didn't want God to do what he knew God could do. Jonah knew God was a God of revival. Jonah knew God was a God of redemption and restoring. And honestly, I can imagine that Jonah had had families or friends or people that the Assyrians had just done nasty things to. And Jonah honestly did not want to forgive. Jonah honestly did not want that to happen, for there to be forgiveness given to them. So for us, have we chosen to say no to God in some areas when he's called us to go because of fear? I think it could happen. And if that's you, I want to tell you, man, it's time to take a step. Or let's go a little bit farther with that. Or is there somebody that you know you need to forgive? Is there somebody you know you need to go talk to? Is there someone you need to go and ask forgiveness of? But honestly, you don't want God to restore. That's a deeper one. And I think we have to really ask that question, though, because if we're looking at the life of Jonah, that's what we see and what can happen. So God says, go. Jonah says, no. And as we keep reading on, we see that God goes, oh? With a raised eyebrow. Like, oh, okay. And you look at what happens here, and a storm comes. God allows this storm to come, and the storm is rocking the boat. And as it's rocking the boat, and Jonah's asleep in the boat, and then he comes out, God's like, hey, I need to get your attention here. And the way to get his attention is, yes, a major storm hits and then throwing him in, and yes, the whale, all those things. But I think that God tries to get our attention when we say no in a few ways. He allows three different types of storms to come into our lives. The first one is a perfecting storm. I think that God allows perfecting storms to come into our lives, meaning that it's a chance for him to perfect something in us. So look at Joseph, right? in the Old Testament. We know the story in students. We actually looked at him while we were away. But the story of Joseph, man, he was put in a tough situation. But while that storm was going on, his brother sold him into slavery. There's a lot going on in this world. It didn't deserve. It didn't feel comfortable. But God was perfecting. God was molding. God was shaping. God was moving to use Joseph in a mighty way. Another storm that God might allow in our lives, it's a protecting storm. Look at what happens with Jesus and the disciples. Jesus had just preached to the 5,000, and there was a response. And right after that, he sends the disciples to go get on a boat. Now, why did he do that? One of the main reasons was that the people there were wanting to make him king. They were saying, okay, and they were ready to elevate Jesus' earthly status. And Jesus knew that was not what was supposed to happen. He also knew that was not good for his disciples to see that. He didn't need them thinking of anything other than them as the King of the Kings. And so he protected them by putting them on a boat in the middle of a different storm. And the other type of storm that can happen in our lives is a correcting storm. And this correcting storm is where Jonah found himself. Jonah finds himself in a correcting storm. God is there to do some correction in his life. God is there to see some difference happen in Jonah's life. And so in chapter 2, what you see is Jonah's prayer. And Jonah's prayer is not one of, oh, get me out of this place or blame. But instead we see at the end of chapter 2 in verse 9 where he says, but I with the voice of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I vowed I will pay. And then here it is. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So God put Jonah in this storm so that there could be some correction. And in that moment, now Jonah was stubborn, 3 days in a whale, and he didn't pray until then. You know what I mean? I mean, Jonah was a stubborn guy. Maybe we've been pretty stubborn at times too. And so we see this happening, and as soon as Jonah says salvation belongs to the Lord, meaning that salvation belongs to you, God, you can do what you want with it, even to the people of Nineveh, we see in verse 10, and the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. And in chapter 3, we see the mission resume, or actually finally take place. As God again says, I want you to go to Nineveh and preach. And this time Jonah says, okay. And he walks to Nineveh, he gets there, and he begins to preach. And what happens is revival takes over the land. The enemies of God now begin to revere the true God because of Jonah's obedience at this time. Chapter 4, we still see Jonah going, really, God, I still don't like this whole forgiveness thing that you've given to the Assyrians, to the Ninevites. I'm not a fan of this. But today, the question for all of us is, where are we in this story? Again, we give too much attention to the fish and not enough attention to the man, Jonah.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with Him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.